So here it is, March 29th, 2020. And it's yours truly. I prefer to say yours truthfully. You know how modest I am. Fits with my modesty. In the studio corner with two mythophrenic buddies who shall introduce themselves. Women first, ladies first.
Carrie Duane.
Cricket Claw.
Right. And the three of us are here, a mad trio of Shaktas, to discuss various subjects. I've been doing a fair amount of solo work lately, and I don't know about you out there, but I get tired of hearing myself.
Oh, me too.
Talk all the time. I know, you get sick and tired of it. You've been for years. I don't know how you put up with it, frankly. But I thought it would be a wonderful variation to have a conversation, and that even rhymes. And also, I encourage you as well out there to have conversations among yourselves about the topics that come up on Nimitta. The art of conversation is a lively tantric art in the form of entertainment and education. So we're going to have a conversation. I'm titling this conversation, The Talk on Operation Mephisto. And I'm giving that name, Operation Mephisto, to the ensemble of talks and texts that I am now proceeding to release on the subject of Faust, the theme of the Faustian bargain, Mephisto rules, and all of that as it relates to the current fake pandemic. So here we go.
So the theme is going to be archons, because, in fact, the only virus on this planet is the archontic virus.
That's right. The German New Medicine teaches correctly that there is no such thing as a virus, right? We're all students of German medicine, would you agree?
Indeed.
And corroborate my understanding, basically, it merely says, it primarily says, Hammer says, that there are many microbes living in our body as there are many microbes in the environment. You know, there's billions of microbes in a handful of dirt. And these microbes are benevolent helpers and healers, and it is wrong to regard them as invasive and infectious entities. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
But the exception proves the rule. So there is one truly invasive, infectious entity in this divine experiment. So actually, the coronavirus scam provides a great opportunity to get that Gnostic intel out and to give the full background of who the archons are.
So we're going to retrace your steps a little bit, back to Not in His Image, where you revealed the demented deity and how the archons were created by her fall. And we're also going to touch, I know you've talked about this before, but we're also going to touch on the subject of why we use the celestial bodies in Planetary Tantra when they were, in fact, created by the archons.
Yeah, that issue has come up. Obviously, naturally so, the objection.
It comes up all the time.
Does it really?
Mm.
People write you with questions
I
about
see
it
around and about, yeah.
Well, let's see if we can bring some clarity to the issue. In the first place, those who live in her narrative do not do so blindly. It's not a matter of belief. You live in the narrative knowingly, with a mind open, with your wonder circuit open, and your probative faculty operating. So you're always looking at proof of the narrative. But one thing I can guarantee you from Gnostic practice over many years is that you won't get that proof unless you stay in the narrative, because it is a guiding system. It is a visionary story that guides. So what does the story say? Well, it says that Deon Sophia plunged from the galactic core. Now today, as a result of the work being done on Thunderbolt's project and the EU Electric Universe plasma cosmology, that event can be defined as a plasmic surge out of the galactic core. And they talk about this in a routine manner now. Generally, however, they picture and they show plasmic surges. It's like a plume or feather of organic light, plasma, akasha, coming from a core. And generally, they show it shooting vertically out of the core. But in the case of Sophia's fall or plunge, it shot laterally across the galactic arms. And when it reached a certain limit in the third galactic arm, she splattered. And the splatter of that anomaly, of that plasmic discharge, produced the Archon species. So I'm speaking here both mythologically, mythopoetically, but I'm also giving, I believe, a description that is totally consistent with Electric Universe cosmology. Would you agree?
Yes.
So we always know, those of us who live in the story, that it's her fault that the Archons are even involved in this experiment. You can say it's her fault. It's fair enough to put it in those words, don't you agree?
Well, it's our problem, but it's a problem that she needs to fix.
Yeah, she created it.
Yeah, it reminds me of a saying that I learned in the pop psychology jargon of the recovery movement. Well, it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. It's a beautiful distinction. So it's our responsibility and pleasure to work with her co-creatively to manage and resolve this situation. So what happened at first was that the Archons appeared in the manner that is described in that experiment called, I can't remember, Andrew Cross, the abiogenesis of the mites that were produced. Mites or lice-like creatures were produced spontaneously in an electromagnetic field.
Yeah. Right.
So picture the Aeon Sophia as a swirling mass of plasmic light, a great serpent of brilliant white plasmic light, and then all of these pests, like these locusts, and they irritated her, and they got in her hair, and they bothered her and distracted her. So she did something at that moment to deal with the situation. The narrative describes all this already, right?
So it was kind of like a... her fall created a chemical physics reaction which created these...
Yeah, high voltage, isn't it?
Locust.
The high voltage surge hitting the conoma, which is a realm of particulate matter in the galactic limbs, dust really, produced spontaneously this inorganic species. Yeah. So it's inorganic. And so she had to deal with it. So what'd she do? Well, fortunately, surviving materials we have from that mess of pottage, which we call the Nag Hammadi codices, describes exactly what she did. She conferred upon the Archons a spark of her mind, because they have no mind of their own.
Which is why there are cosmic cousins. But don't take that literally. They're right. Not related to us.
They don't come from our genomic stem.
Fourth cousin removed.
Yeah, and they were not intended. It was a mistake. It was an anomaly, wasn't it?
But nevertheless, and there's a, in what I call the Gnostic Catechism, which I think is from the Apocalypse of James, the second Apocalypse of James, they say how you should address the Archons if they attack you. And they say you should recognize you are our cousins, you are from the same mother, but we are of a different generation. Okay? It's all so perfectly clear. So then what she did was, she gave them a spark of her mind, because they can only imitate. They have no mind of their own. And so they imitated what came with the spark. And what came with the spark was the endowment of the archontic intelligence of the Pleroma. So the Pleroma is like a vast kaleidoscope of fractal living matrices of living light that are playing and dancing with each other. And it literally says somewhere in the cosmological texts that they imitated the patterns of the aeons in the Pleroma. And so then they created the solar system as kind of a Disney park, an amusement park, where they could occupy themselves. They built cycles, they built an inorganic world system modeled on the patterns of the archons, of the aeons, excuse me, modeled on the patterns of the aeons. So they don't have any mind of their own. The structure of the solar system is actually an imitation, an archontic imitation of the living fractal patterns in the Pleroma.
Which is why it's okay for us to use the celestial omens.
It's a dual purpose event. In the first case, it distracts the archons and gives them a playground. It's a Disney world. The solar system is their Disney world. Disneyland.
So it's like the Auschwitz Museum then.
Yeah, with the seven dwarfs. Right, the seven planets. The Hebdomad. So it's all there, but it has a dual purpose. For her, it distracts the archons and keeps them out of her hair so she can go about her proper affair, which is to turn into the earth and provide a laboratory environment for the anthropos. But for us living on the earth, it serves another purpose. When I read the celestial intel, I am actually reading the living intel of the aeons themselves. Their code is carried in the planetary cycles. The archons did not invent the planetary cycles, the timing of them, the placements of them. They didn't invent any of that. So when we go to that for intel, we get pristine intel. And that's why we rely on that and use it.
Which is why it's a biofeedback device for us living on her body, for every creature living on her body, every plant, every creature.
The animals, the birds, they all fly in consort with the constellations and the rise and the fall and the setting of planets. So let's say that that covers it, and that would resolve this question that certain people have. Well, how can you cite the solar system and draw intel from it?
So let's get back to why that's relevant to Coyid Ninestein.
Coyid Ninestein, yes.
So the tribe were her, were the
vector,
the vector,
vector race.
The vector race that the Demiurge used to get the only virus that exists on the Earth
into the hermetically sealed Petri dish of this experiment. So there has been an intrusion. There is a pest in the Garden of Eden. There is one virus operating on this planet, and the carriers of that virus, well, do you know who they are? So the carriers of the virus are now propagating the narrative of the virus.
And they're the consummate liars. They're the consummate creators of lies on this planet.
And why do they lie? Well, in a way, to be merciful, and I hate to be merciful, but I'm crawling on my belly now, you know, to say this. They can only lie because they do not have pronoia, they do not have noia, they do not have dianoia, they do not have paranoia, they do not have any of the living, intelligent faculties of the human animal and other animals. And so everything they do, they make up. So they're liars, but it's not like when I make things up, which is an invention of human imagination. They just lie. That's why they lie. That is the root of their lying habits.
Are you talking specifically Archons or the Archontified tribe?
I'm talking the Archontified tribe because, as a matter of fact, the Archons can't do anything unless they have proxies and vectors within the nations.
Okay, I'd like to read, I think it's probably everybody's favourite part of Not in His Image, and it comes from the Nag Hammadi Library. So it's when Sophia confronts the Lord Archon. She was filled with anger, and she declares to him, "You are mistaken, blind one. There is an immortal child of light who came into this realm before you and who will appear among your duplicate forms in your simulated world. Humanity exists, and the offspring of the human strain exists. And in the consummation of all your works, its entire deficiency of truth will be revealed and dissolved by this luminous child."
Sigma.
From the oranges of
Sigma.
The world.
Sigma! Hail the mother! Indeed. Show me that book later on.
It's crap. You don't want to read it.
Well, I'm in self-isolation now. I need something to read. So, yes. So, this is a big, big picture. But it's so brilliant in the way that it comes down to every single detail of life.
Well, particularly in the current events, everybody's isolated now. I mean, nothing has been played on this planet like this COVID-19 virus. It's quite extraordinary to be alive at this moment in time.
And the moment when the Archontic proxies, who are of two groups, the racial Zenosh, and then all their enablers and accomplices who are not racial.
Shabbos Goy.
When they come to the moment when they show their hand, they play their last hand, their end game, that is the optimal moment for her to implement correction. And we are instruments of correction with her.
Yeah, we are her agents.
We are her agents. We direct her to those aspects of correction that we want to see manifest in the world. And she is doing all kinds of things that lie even beyond the realm of our conception.
So in terms of current events, we did a recording a few weeks ago and I said I didn't believe a word of it as soon as it came out because I don't believe anything the mainstream media say or any of the governmental agencies like the World Health Organization, the CDC. They all work for the same masters.
So,
and we've been stunned, absolutely stunned. So all these content providers on the internet, on YouTube and stuff like that, who deconstruct what the Zenosh are up to, have all fallen for this psyop, like suckers.
It's sad. It's tragic, really, because a good number of these people who are, seekers of truth, really, have deconstructed and exposed a lot about the game of the Archons. But when it comes to their final hoax, their ultimate hoax, they're buying it.
Because it's a biological entity.
That's the con.
A phantom.
It's a phantom influence. It's a phantom microbe.
Mm.
So what a moment. So one thing that I'm enjoying is the deselection of what I give my attention to. So I used to follow some channels, and they did some good work. They did some valid work. I do not follow anyone who talks the narrative of the virus, because the narrative of the virus is the virus. There is no biological threat. There is no engineered bioweapon threatening the nations.
No,
the races.
It's a virus of fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And fiction. Personally, I had to stop looking at anything to do with the virus because I bought into the fear as well, not because I think there's a virus, but because of the isolation, because we're not going to be able to go and see our families anymore if they keep this lockdown on. It's horrific.
But and the way they've rigged it is that it appears to give the authorities, which is a translation of Archons, the ultimate hand in everything. I mean, just look at the power that they have.
Mm.
People all around the world are walking around like zombies, blind.
Complicit.
They're shocked.
They're shocked. They're in fear.
And we have to respect their fear.
This is a good point you make.
Up to a point.
Up to a point, yeah.
No, I disagree with up to a point. There's no point trying to... I'm talking people we know in our personal realities, people we care about. So our neighbours across the road, for example, she's walking around looking really shocked and she's swollen. She's got some kind of conflict going on, tubules collecting, conflict going on. She's in shock.
She won't hug me anymore.
And there's,
I have to grab her and hug her.
She takes a step back.
Or various stink conflicts.
So there's no, you know, I've sent quite a few of my friends that I still have the German New Medicine stuff, and I realised that was a huge error to do that because they're scared, and it's the wrong time to try and show them that material. Show them there's not really a virus. It was a mistake for me to do that.
Maybe I view it more as a one case at a time, one opportunity at a time. It's like blow by blow. It's not a mistake that you provided them with that material. If they can't assimilate it now, it may become valuable to them later on.
Yeah.
But if they're scared away by the truth about what is happening, then I would deselect them from my reality.
I only have 3 friends outside of Planetary Tantra. I'm not going to deselect them because they can't get Germany medicine.
So you hold them in good faith, let's say.
Yeah.
Good. I'm sure many who are listening can relate to this dilemma.
So let's get back to... I think what I've noticed over the last maybe 10 days, people who are on the internet are starting to say, oh, no, hang on a minute, this isn't right, the stats aren't correct. And it's coming through that they're starting to grasp that it's not true and it's a psychological operation.
You can also call it a CHIT test, right?
Yeah.
So CHIT, spelled CIT, is a key term in Vedic metaphysics, and it means consciousness. Chitta means mind as such. So you say it's a CHIT test. It's a test of consciousness, but basically, isn't it also a test of common sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what's the metaphor? People are asleep, and some of us are awake. We woke up, we swallowed the JQ pill, we swallowed it, and we're awake now. So
Well, they're blinded by the media. They're blinded by the assault which has been going on for decades on their minds. They're blinded by
bodies.
The war atrocity propaganda, and now they're recruited into being actors. Into playing out a movie in which they become their own enemies.
Yeah.
Saklas, like the Aeonic Mother confronts the Lord of the Archons, Ieldabaoth, and says, Saklas means blind. So you're blind. They're blind. They're blinded by fear.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't snap out of it at some point.
Mm. Well, I personally...
But don't depend on it.
Personally, I'm delighted. My elderly parents not buying it for a second.
Yeah, and my one close personal friend that I have in the world, I only have one, I just talked to her. She's 80 years old. She's not buying it.
And she works in a hospital, so it'd be really easy for her to...
That's right. She's been involved in medicine. Her best friend is a doctor. And she's in an ideal position to be duped. And she says, no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, for instance, that in the area of Aquitaine, which is in southern France, where one of our allies lives, Sochi, who runs Cocopelli Legacy.
Hello, Sochi.
Hey, Sochi. In that area, he calculated that the total number of infected based on the population in France is, get this, 0.015%. And they're saying that that's the basis for declaring a pandemic. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And so this is a chit test of common sense.
You came up here, Quickie Claw, in a taxi from southern Spain. And do you want to talk about the taxi driver, his behaviour in the taxi?
Yeah, that's right. He was living their narrative tooth and nail. You know, he was wearing gloves. Well, as is the law in Spain now, in the state of alarm, which dictates that anybody who is driving a car and has another person inside, they have to be, both persons have to be wearing gloves and a mask.
And the passenger has to sit in the back.
And the passenger has to sit in the back at least 1 meter from each other. So, yeah, this particular cabbie, he was... Firstly, he was attracted only to the propaganda.
The virus
propaganda on the radio. He couldn't listen to music of any sort.
So he was just going from station to station to hear the latest propaganda.
Exactly, yeah.
Addicted,
completely. And then, he was disinfecting, quote unquote, the steering wheel at various times throughout the journey, and then also generally the dashboard. Even though he was the only person. He was the only person that was in contact with that area of the cab, and yeah, it was something else. I've never been in the last 2 weeks or so when I've come in contact with police controls, Guardia controls, local police, and then
military.
I've never seen levels of paranoia that he displayed.
Mm. So do you want to talk about the stats?
Yes, but first I'd like to recite a limerick.
Okay.
We'll talk about limericks at the end of the conversation.
Okay.
Resist and spoil the fiddler's fix. With proxy meddlers, do not mix. So I'm proposing a jargon, satirical, playful, mysterious jargon, as a counterattack against this propaganda. Of course we can attack it on factual grounds and common sense grounds. Obviously the statistics that they're putting out do not justify shutting down the whole world. Mm. More people die of, you know, cancer from smoking, which is also a fabrication, in a year, many more than have died from this disease. So I'm calling the fiddler's fix, using that term, it's an allusion to the off-sighted theme of the devil plays the fiddle.
Fiddler on the roof.
Fiddler on the roof, right. And in Histoire du Soldat of Stravinsky, it's a little ballet piece in which the fiddler, the devil takes the fiddle from a soldier. So I'm proposing that fiddler's fix is a trope for what the Zenosh, the racial Zenosh, call Tikkun Olam, the correction of the world.
Mm.
Right. So that's the fiddler's fix. So don't go for the fiddler's fix.
You're being fiddled.
You're being fiddled. And the figures are being fiddled. The books are being fiddled.
Mm.
The science is being fiddled.
The science is fiddled.
So let's give a shout out to Bernie Tree, because we love our Bernie.
We picked up on Bernie Tree a number of years back.
I think you have posted one of her videos on Nemeter since we've been live.
I did.
But I don't know if people remember her. She's a gorgeous black woman. She's so beautiful. And she's so smart. Nobody can pull the wool over that woman's eyes. And I looked on YouTube the other day and she'd done an upload. And she was like, I'm not buying this virus.
And she raises a common sense question. Well, I don't know anybody who's dying of horrible respiratory problems and foaming at the mouth or whatever else they're going to tell you about this. So I don't know anyone who's got the infection. And do you know anyone personally? Or have you heard of anyone? So she's absolutely scrumptious, black woman with poise and sobriety that is stunning. So we'll link to Bernie Tree.
Mm. You were reading, I think Zochi sent this link to you about some kid had researched and discovered that a patent was made in 2006 on the, I'm putting apostrophe, COVID-19 virus. So what they've done is patented the protein particle that they've discovered.
Right. Yeah. The experts and the authorities tell us, remember, that the lies they tell may have some kind of truth in them, because they can only construct a lie out of some particle of truth.
Mm.
So they tell us that the current variant of this invasive microbial entity is actually a mutation of SARS-coronavirus. So the SARS-coronavirus goes back to SARS, is the basic microbial unit, and then there's a mutation of it into this lethal, highly contagious entity. And that's all a lie. But this kid did his research, he did his homework, and he says, hey, look here. In 2006, a company in the United States patented the SARS-coronavirus microbe. It's been patented. Why would they do that? Because they're controlling that entity, which is a pseudo virus. It's not a real virus.
Well, I think it's a mislabeling of a protein particle that naturally occurs in the body. That's why some people can get tested for the coronavirus on one day and be infected, and then the next day they're not infected. And why some people can be carriers. It's simply a mislabeling of something that occurs in the body naturally.
That's right. The microbes that live in your system are benevolent helpers to healing and recovery. So they have to work off the reality of biology to construct their scam biology.
Hmm.
I thought it was remarkable, and also we'll just throw out a meme here, throw out a trope. The name of the company that patented this entity.
This one's for you, Julie.
Yeah. Is Chiron. Chiron. Now, we're going to have some things to say about Chiron. I might, at a certain point, offer a little mythological, mythophrenic riff on the Greek legend of Chiron, the archetype of the wounded healer.
Let's discuss the possibility of corona being a bioweapon.
Impossible.
Well, if they've never isolated a virus or photographed it, it's impossible to make a bioweapon from something that doesn't
exist. They can't find. Right. Mm. So if you go by the excellent intel of German New Medicine, you realize that they never isolated the perpetrator entity, of HIV, of swine flu. They've never isolated any of these entities because they, in fact, don't exist. And so now we have an opportunity to see how true that is.
We need to take a few steps back here, which is the perfect time to do so. Operation Mephisto, of course, is based on Faust. Now, I read a transcription of Dr. Stefan Lanker's seminar he gave, and he said Faust warned us about coronavirus. And I gave that transcription to you. It's a bad transcription. It's not good English. So you were going, what? But actually it comes in the third and fourth editions. He added it later. It wasn't in the first and second edition of Faust. So let's talk about Faust and the Archons.
So Goethe was born in the 1740s.
We're all Roman saluting, by the way.
Yes, we're Roman saluting. And a number of rather interesting things happened in the 1740s. For instance, the foundation of the Rothschild dynasty, Rothschild mafia. Second, the event in the depths of Tibet when Jigme Lingpa, JL, retrieved a treasure, a terma, that had been planted by Longchenpa in the 13th century.
In a rock. They used to put them under rocks.
They say that they put them in rocks, in clouds, so forth. The third event, well, there are actually four events. The third event was the 1740s was the moment that the Aeon Sophia began to go lucid in her dream of the planetary experiment. And finally, and Caradwyn picked up this intel somewhere a couple of weeks ago, the initial introduction of vaccine and an inoculation occurred at that same time. There's a great story connected with that. This doctor, his name was Jenner, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. He crashed in a balloon.
Yeah, in a village that I used to live in. Yeah, he created a cowpox vaccine from a cow called Buttercup, whose hide is on a wall somewhere in some science museum.
I love these details. So Buttercup provided some tissue for an inoculation that he gave to a boy that was working on his estate, right?
Yeah, his gardener's son.
Had
the pox.
Yeah.
And so he started injecting this kid, this eight-year-old kid, with Buttercups.
And that happened after the 1740s, immediately in that same decade. So there is Goethe.
He's a godfather of vaccines. Right. Actually, Lady Montagu in Turkey was one of the first. It goes back to China, actually, ancient China.
Yeah.
But actually, injecting the human body, that was when it started with Jenner.
That's right. Dr. Jenner. So all these events were simultaneous in the drama, in the script of linear time, and we look back to them as evidence of what we're talking about here. So where were we? We were...
Faust.
Faust, right.
Goethe.
So Goethe, in his way, because he was a clairvoyant and a visionary, may have known about these matters factually because he was an extremely well-educated and well-informed man in his time. But whether he did or not, he picked up on them with his prairie dog instincts. And he wrote about this danger and warned about it in these specific passages from Faust, which are quoted by Stefan Lanka.
Mm. And of course, we just realized quite recently that Goethe actually did speak out about the racial zenosh.
I'll be quoting those passages from Faust in upcoming releases.
And we found that out in a book called Eternal Strangers by Thomas Dalton, PhD.
Pretty much required reading for Nemeto staff, Eternal Strangers.
Yeah. So Mephisto is...
The code name.
The code name.
That refers directly, it is the name that describes the archontic trickster. And the archontic trickster is what is the entity behind all of this. So you can blame the COVID-19 virus on the archontic trickster. It is a game. It is a spell of the trickster. And so by using the name Mephisto, you are commanding that demon. You take control over it, because when you can name a demonic entity, you can control it.
So for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to listen to John's guided navigation experiment, which went on for 3 years, lots of text, lots and lots of audios, there were four nav briefings on Mephisto rules.
Mephisto rules.
So Mephisto rules, in a nutshell, it's what they don't show you.
It's about the way that they meddle with the evidence. You see, the human animal, when it's sane, wants to see evidence. And Mephisto rules prevent you from seeing the evidence. The example being right now, although the authorities are claiming that there is suddenly there are 1,000 cases in Italy in one day.
They're saying now that the contamination has surpassed 600,000.
Yeah. And I say, show me the fucking evidence. Yeah. And they will never show you the evidence.
Because there isn't any.
Because the Mephisto rule is, you cannot see what you are not allowed to see, especially when there is nothing to see.
So, to put it into context, for when John was talking about Mephisto rules back in 2013, I think it was the Mephisto rules came out, it was to do with the Sandy Hook PSYOP.
Exactly, that was a great example.
So they didn't show us photographs of the kids who'd been slaughtered at school.
That's right, and they always make the excuse, respect for the dead, which goes back to the Treblinka archaeology hoax, where the chief rabbi of Poland said, oh, yes.
We found a comb,
yeah,
a shark's tooth.
And a button.
Which proves
that 900,000 Jews were murdered at Treblinka. But no, you can't dig anymore, because that would be disrespectful to the dead, right? That's Mephisto rules.
So keep that name in your mind.
Keep that name Mephisto. In your mind. So, once again, a limerick. They fiddle numbers all day long. We cross them with Swan Deva's song.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about another fiddle, 5G narrative. So, anyone who's followed the coronavirus, who's got a researching property faculty still, they'll have looked for other explanations to this alleged pandemic. And I haven't looked for ages because I had to stop looking because it was making me depressed. I don't do that anymore. But the only alternative that was coming up was either bioweapon. They can't create a bioweapon of something that doesn't exist. Or it's 5G.
So what they're saying is, what some people are saying is,
giving people the symptoms, yeah, of the influenza.
There are real symptoms of the influenza. That in itself is a con. But those symptoms are not caused by the microbe. They are actually caused by 5G irradiation.
Misdirection.
No way.
I'm going to paraphrase a quote from Carolina Markelin, who I was on a Germany medicine seminar with her last weekend, and she said, yeah, 5G, well, it's definitely something that we should be concerned about, but if you stay in the fourth biological law of Germany medicine, all so-called diseases are created in the psyche. Outside influences do not create disease.
Certainly, we're under attack by electromagnetic devices and, you know, there's no question about that, but it's a sidetrack.
It's going to just have an effect on your energetic levels. It's not going to give you a disease. It's not going to give you cancer. Worrying about it and the fear of 5G will Absolutely. Give you fucking cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Or leukemia or whatever the disease of your choice. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so let's introduce nugenics. Nugenics being capital N, capital U, G-E-N-I-C-S. The capitalized N and U are for the natal ultimate.
So we have been cooking up a great, beautiful stew. In the cauldron of the Shaktas of nugenics to be released on Emeta on April 7th or April 6th.
Why did you decide on that date?
Because it is, if you go back to 6 o'clock universal time on September 18th, 2018, when Nemeter was released, and you count ahead 18 months, 18 days, 18 hours, and 18 minutes, you come to April 7th. So that's when we're going to release this beautiful, beautiful model and paradigm of true healing, true therapy, a tree of therapies, and the image of the tree is the image of nugenics.
Nugenics is going to be, we're going to be reinventing the wheel here. So we're going to introduce it. It's going to be quite basic to start with, and nugenics is going to be something that will always be developed by Schachter's Implantary Tantra.
And it incorporates German New Medicine and does not in any way alter or subvert the fundamental principles, but there's an interface between German New Medicine and the field of eugenics.
Yeah, it's the marriage, isn't it?
The marriage.
Yeah.
The alchemical wedding.
Yeah.
Further. Alchemical wedding.
Beautiful. So let's finish this talk on the purpose of satire. Satire and humour is the antidote to what everybody is experiencing on the planet at the moment in this insanity.
Indeed. You know, there's a saying going around the internet, coming probably out of those 4chan and 8chan dwellers in the underground, which is the left camp meme. It's true that the left camp meme. Now, what's happening now, which I'm picking up on, I would like to comment on it as my perception develops, is that the Aeonic Mother herself is memeing and trolling. So anything that the Archons throw at us as an assault upon our sanity, she trolls them.
Mephisto. Anything that Mephisto throws at us.
Anything that Mephisto throws, she produces memes. And also, she relies on us to use our satirical wit and our sardonic powers of, there's a word, of ridicule.
Yeah.
Because that is the one, the left can't meme, and the Archons can't stand up against satire.
It's completely original, isn't it? That's the thing.
That's why I came up with Koyed, and then you added Neinstein. Koyed Neinstein.
Any name that you can come up with, any substitute for the narrative. Don't repeat mindlessly the phrases of the narrative, such as, quote, confirmed cases, unquote, such as extreme measures taken to spread, to prevent the spread of the virus, end
or
quote.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Yeah.
Stay safe. Do not repeat these words.
Matt and I got, because we're both British, we got text, both of us got a text, I think on the same day, from the UK government. Stay indoors. Stay safe. Protect the NHS. Fuck off.
Yeah. This whole safety is a con. Safety is a con. They're not offering safety. They're offering a Soviet-style world control system. Mm. And one of the key factors in implementing that system is universal capacity. Mandatory vaccination.
Yeah. Capacity.
So we've got a little little video that we're going to share with you. Handsome Fucker sent this to me, and we laughed about it all day long, and we continue to giggle about it. So you've got to have some laughs.
Indeed. And I encourage everyone to write limericks in that respect. Here we go. A couple of limericks. The fiddler on the roof invites you to his spoof. He spreads his stench across the mensch. He's just a stinking goof. Romay, do not comply or cower. This truly is your finest hour. A pug said that. The poodle's dandy. This rhyming slang will come in handy to ward them off and build the tower.